Campers, while we're gathering around the campfire, we just want to let you know we are not what you would call experts. What we do have is a love for researching and discussing the lore of cryptids, creatures,
and an occasional spooky woman that can eat our soul.
So if you are in need of immediate help with the chupacabra in your yard, please consult someone else.
Also, this podcast isn't for kids. These campfire stories can contain graphic and explicit content that may not be suitable for young campers, so listener discretion is advised.
Howdy ho, campers. Welcome back to Loring, our folklore podcast, where we tell you the history and legends of different lore and from around the world. I tried to go off script. It worked. I liked it.
I just like how the more we do the intro, the more you progressively become a camp counselor. Like,
yeah, that's the goal.
I listened to our first episode, and you were like, hey, everyone.
Hello.
I'm Ryan. And yeah. Now you're like, howdy ho, campers.
Howdy. I was watching our, the first couple episodes we uploaded on YouTube, the, like, video ones, not the, like, audio ones. And, yeah, man, look at us. That's all I got to say, because they were rough. The fact that we have listeners, God bless all of you.
Yeah, we really, you know, we were very like, you know what, if we just start it, let's just see what happens,
yeah.
And then we will polish a little
Done is better than nothing. That was the strategy, and here we are.
To be fair, like, I adore Markiplier, and he'll be like, man, those old videos, and I'm like, you hooked me from day one, so we're just charming is how I look at it. So that's how we're doing. Anyway, let's get into this. we started so strong, and I really took us on a U-turn right there. Do you want to tell me what you found alluring?
Yeah, so I did a very important poll on Instagram today. And I said, if I get enough likes, I'll get a camp counselor Mothman tattoo. And wouldn't you know it, Kimmy, we got enough likes. So I got my appointment scheduled for December 4th.
Ooh.
So by the time this episode, I won't have it by next episode, but I'll have it by the next episode.
Well, you'll have it in the Krampus.
In the Christmas episodes, they will be there.
Also, I like how you kept saying likes, like you didn't just post. You needed a singular one to motivate you to schedule the appointment.
Well, you know, sure, you know, when you got to set the bar low just in case, but I did get one like. Which is all I needed. Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
Well, you have multiple likes now. It's actually very funny because people will like it and then they'll see the next post on our story and cackle at me. So.
Then I have two things today, which we're going to talk about this one later. But I got a package from Kimmy that had very specific instructions inside of it. We're going to talk about that at the end of the episode during the announcements.
You can tease it a little now.
There's little gifties inside of it that are numbered, and they say to open it over 12 days to lead up to our holiday special. Pause now to read.
They just zoom and it is the most pixelated text on the face of the planet.
Unless you're an audio listener, in which that case, we'll get to it at the end of the episode.
Woo! But yeah, so that's a good one. That will be fun. Yeah,
I'm very excited. It's a pretty hefty package. I mean, I don't want to show the address, but I mean, that's thick for an envelope.
Yeah, it was very funny when I handed it to the mailman, because at the post office, there is this one guy, and I need to ask him his name. I always feel weird asking people their name when they work in service, because I hated when people did it to me.
Yeah.
But he always has, like, cryptid little things, and he, like, listens. Oh. And he saw it, and he's like, ooh, what's this for? And I'm like, I'm making Ryan open surprises. And he was like, oh, no. And I'm like, oh, yes. And I slid it to him. So, absolute gem. Love my post office. But those are good ones.
There's a sticker in there, too. That's going to be...
yeah. I'm so excited to see what the artist does with it.
I think I'm going to do it, like, right on the wrist. Like a watch, almost.
That's so great.
I'm running out of room, so I don't have a lot of options on where it's going to go. I'm thinking the wrist.
You're like, I don't got that much real estate left.
Yeah.
Not on
this arm, which is where it's going. Anyway, what did you find alluring?
Man, what did I find alluring? I know I had time to think of it. Honestly, tattoo life's been pretty nice.
Yeah, you got one.
I got my first tattoo. She big. She's beautiful.
For a first tattoo, that thing is huge.
Yeah.
My first tattoo was like palm sized.
Yeah.
Kimmy just went full half sleeve.
Oh, yeah. I was like, the artist, she was just the cutest human being ever. And I do this thing where I'm always like, I'm going to find out their astrological sign and talk to them about that. Because I can tell right away, based off how you respond to astrology, is how the communication will be with you. Like, if you entertain it, even if you don't like the idea, we're going to be good friends, you know? And she was the cutest. She was, like, the sweetest, like, Cancer mama energy. I, like, didn't feel any pain in my tattoo.
That's awesome.
It was great. And she was just such a gem. If you guys want to check her out, she's, like, at the Singing Finch. And she just does beautiful florals. I had such an amazing experience. It was, like, the area they were in was, like, all female tattoo artists. And it felt like a spa. And I had my mermaid tail blanket, and I'm like, life is so good right now.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, tattoo was great. Yeah, I got, everyone's like, wow, that was your first one. I was like, yeah. I've wanted one for, like, years, and the 2 years of COVID really pushed me over the edge to just commit to something, so.
I'm actually, like, a little nervous for mine, because I've had the same tattoo artist for such a long time, but really? I don't live in that state anymore. And that tattoo artist, like, he wasn't a talker. And I'm so bad at small talk. Like, and he would say at the beginning, he's like, I'm just going to listen to music if that's okay. Because, like, I need to focus. And I'd be like, yes. Like, that's the best thing you could have possibly told me. So, because then I would just listen to my music. And now I'm worried this next one's going to want to talk. Which, I'm just not good at it. But I'm going to do my best.
I don't know. You can ask them questions. Is what I always do the first half of the tattoo.
Yeah.
I didn't bring up my podcast to like more than 75% of the way in. And she was like, I'm going to listen. And I was like, that's sweet.
Hopefully they're like, listening now. Shout out.
Yeah. If you are, she's an amazing tattoo artist. I just sent her at the Singing Bitch. Please go check her out.
Yeah. Yeah, they did such a good job. Your tattoo looks so good.
I know, and I love it too, because like I kind of want to add some more like going on the back later. Like not the whole thing. Like I'm really just doing the shoulder area. Like that's the only place I want a tattoo. So, but she was like, ooh, we could add it here. We can do this. And I'm like, that's awesome, because it's always going to look like a finished piece and always going to feel like a flower mermaid girl. So life is great. It's beautiful. You know what isn't beautiful?
You. Yeah. this week's sightings. Do I have, but let's just stall a little longer because I didn't do the soundboard. There it is. A feather from an angel is one we rarely see, but this one is quite different as special as can be. What are we talking about today, Kimmy?
I'm so sorry. I was not ready for that voice.
I spent a lot of time beforehand thinking, like, how do I read this? Because it's not a song. It's not a poem. It's just kind of a quote.
I was not emotionally ready for that voice.
I was going for, like, Roman Pope, who, like, learned English.
Yeah. Crushed nice. It.
Perfect. Thank you.
Crushed it like Caesar did. So, when the clouds part and the light shines down from the heavens, you may hear the holy cries of something that is not of this earth. These celestial beings aren't here to harm you, but are here to deliver a message. And they may not be what you expect, but do not fear. They are only here to deliver a divine message and then bounce. So, if you're watching our YouTube, here is my lovely illustration. Am I pointing the right way this time? Oh, yeah. Holla fucking Lou took so many episodes.
Just opposite of what you'd think.
Yeah, that's I don't know why my brain just got it today, just clicked. Something happened in there. But here's my lovely illustration. You can see this on our website on our episode guide, or you can see it on our social media channels, or you can check it out on our YouTube. Anyway, that's what it looks like. It's like delightful nightmare fuel.
Yeah, so I'd say a little horrifying.
Like, in the nicest way, though.
Yeah.
So, it's like an anime you think is going to be fine, and then you're like, oh, no. Mm-hmm. So, that was the energy there. But, as you can take from this image, if you can see, but for all our audio listeners, this week we'll be talking about biblical angels. These celestial entities have been told in legends and religious texts for centuries all around the world. It's believed these winged creatures have been around since the dawn of man, and though their appearance has changed dramatically over time, they're still very iconic to this day. Now.
Disclaimer.
Disclaimer. For everyone that heard us say angels and thought, this will be the episode where they are wholesome, where it is church approved. There's a reason our show is marked as explicit. So don't get your hopes up. If you are playing this at, I don't know, your Sunday church activity, you should stop right now. Just don't. Just don't do it. Cool beans. Like, unless you really want to, but that's between you and God, and you'll figure it out. Also, I did my best in avoiding the boring Bible jargon and specifically looking at what a biblical angel is and what they are from all different beliefs around the world. Now, why did I do this? It's because I, as a good Catholic, pulled out my dusty Bible, blew off the dust, opened it up, and went, nah, chief. And then found myself much more entertained by watching History Channel's Ancient Alien series. So, this episode may not go where you guys think it would normally go, but it will be a fun journey. And I also want to clarify that angels are part of many religious beliefs, so I tried to talk about points where a vast majority of them connected. But I am no god. Okay, I am merely an anxiety-ridden 20-year-old female in a collapsing capitalistic society that can't even get tickets for a T-Swift concert.
Oh my goodness. We'll talk about that another time. So, that was crazy.
So it's fine. It's okay. And I'm doing my best. And you guys have Google researchers, and the churches would love to see you because they're always looking for new people.
I have a really good guess if we do science and the church this episode, what the answer is going to be.
Now, I'm so glad you said that because, Ryan, we have to do this at the top of the episode.
Oh, we're doing it right away.
Because, as you guessed, there may be a reason why our whole discussion revolves around one of these. So I want you to put on your thinking cap.
Oh, it's been on. It's I already know.
And ask yourself, is this involving God or scientists? And I need you to tell me what you think.
I mean,
and there is one wrong answer.
This isn't a trick question this time. I mean, we're talking about angels, so I'm going to go with the church.
Congratulations.
Wow.
If it was multiple choice, it would have been the church. Definitely the church. Obviously the church. I can't believe you're reading this as an option when it's the church.
Who could have possibly seen it coming?
Who could have?
All right. Let's get into it.
Okay. So angels have been around since the dawn of time. Many different religions around the world believe that angels are spiritual beings who act as a type of intermediary between God and humans. That being said, it's unclear just where the origins of angels come from, but we can tie it to some stories from mythology. So we're going to go over to the Greeks. And the first legend is, I have just realized I didn't put any pronunciation this week. But it's fine, because I'm not going into religion.
Angelios.
Angelios, in Greek mythology, was the daughter of Zeus and Hera, who became known as Kentonic deities. So, she was raised by nymphs, to whose care her father had entrusted her. One day, she stole her mother Hera's atonements and gave them away to Europa. Someone that knows Greek mythology is going to be steaming through this.
So oh, man.
To escape Hera's wrath, she had to hide first in the house of a woman in labor, next amongst people who were carrying a dead man. Hera eventually ceased from prosecuting her, and Zeus ordered the Cabirio to cleanse their daughter. They performed the purification ritual in the waters of Acherusia Lake in the underworld. Consequently, she received the word of the dead as her realm of influence and was assigned as she of the underworld. So pretty much what that story tells us is that Angelios becomes the messenger between gods of the different realms. Okay. So she is the root for the word angel that's used today. So not only did this story believe to have ties with the first angels, but so did the tale from Zoroastrian mythology. Ooh, so the next legend tells of a cosmic clash between Ahura and Armens, forces of good and evil with their armies of angels and devils. Like Ahura, the Old Testament god Yahweh has an army of angels. These warrior angels battled against evil forces led by Satan, who resembled
It's Armin, just like Armin. Like Attack on Titan.
Oh my god, that's embarrassing. Okay, it's fine. No, it's fine. We're just gonna pretend that I watch anime. That I don't watch anime, actually, and that makes it less embarrassing. So following the Zoroastrian mythology views, Judaism divided the universe into three parts: heaven, earth, and hell. Earth is the home of humans, heaven is where God is, and that's where his angels reside, and hell is where Satan and his followers are. So angels
are the more modern.
Yeah, so this is like, we took a jump because there were so many different religions, and the amount, Ryan, the amount of bad cult sites I have seen.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
I just a friendly PSA, if you're wanting to start a cult, like, I'm highly against turns out, it.
Not that hard.
First of all, you just need enough money for a domain, because all these people are using just HTML, which yeah. I have very strong opinions on. Like, Ryan with cameras is like me with basic design etiquette. So, first of all, I went to all these sites, all HTML code. Like, if me to, like, sacrifice someone in my family, you really got to sell me visually first. Like, there were no logos on these sites. The amount of the GIF triangles with the eyes I saw was fucking ridiculous. You're all getting it from the same MySpace page or something, and I don't understand how, because I've never seen it before. And it's all, like, the worst font combinations. If you do red font on a blue background, I am coming for you, because I was tired. My eyes were hurting. Yes. There was yellow in it, and I don't understand. I was so upset. And I am just being me.
The hatred flow.
I would inspect the fucking website, which is when, for all the people that don't know code or website or didn't have a MySpace thing, that's okay. Just right click on it. Are you doing the Dark Vader?
No.
I don't think Ryan seen me rage since we last played games.
This is great.
Anyway, I have to finish this. If you right click on a website, you can inspect it, and it tells you all the code they put in to make it look pretty. There was no CSS on these websites, which is like the bare minimum. It's like putting on a coat when you go outside. Okay, there was no JavaScript, which gets more fancy, which is okay. You can do so much with CSS. I don't know. If you're going to start a cult,
HTTP too, none of them secured at all.
None of them. There was not a single one. And they didn't. They had pop-ups, and I was like, how can you figure out a fucking pop-up, but you can't put any CSS in your website? Like, mm-hmm. I was so offended. Anyway, if you're going to start a cult, hire a web designer. Just save yourself the embarrassment. Yep. Like, that's all I'm going to say. Okay, sorry.
She's coming after you.
I'm going to come after you.
That's
so
not
offended.
A threat. That's a promise.
That's a promise. Hire a damn web designer. I don't care if it's your nephew. Fucking hell. I was so mad.
My takeaway. So let's.
Sorry. Anyway, so back to the realms of God, humanity and compassion. Sorry, I really went off.
You were talking about. You talked about the three layers.
Yes.
Earth, heaven, and hell. Heaven's forgotten as angels.
Oh, yeah.
Hell is a dark world of Satan.
So angels fulfill a similar role to the two regents, linking heaven with the world
religions.
Of humans. Religions. I'm still mad. I'm sorry, you guys. Those websites really just got to me.
Mm-hmm.
So angels fulfill a similar role in the two religions, linking heaven with the world of humans and revealing God's plan and laws. Their function is to serve God and to carry out his will. They reward goodness and punish wickedness and injustice. They also help people understand God's will, and they take the souls of righteous individuals to heaven. So because of these legends, there are now these ideas that these celestial messengers that serve a God, and then there's a separation of the three. Now fast forward through centuries. And I mean centuries of religious text, because I don't have the heart, the patience, or the time for that. But pretty much angels have just been described as very similar through every belief. They all do the same job. And like, there really wasn't that much of a difference. I feel there's more differences in Bigfoots from like West Coast to East Coast than there is in angels in all biblical texts. And I read so many different religion scriptures in a span of a week. Yeah.
I guess like the too long didn't read version of that is, I mean, that's like three very different time frames. That's like ancient Greece, the how do you say it? The Zoroastrians, that's like Middle Eastern, like 6th century, like, I don't know, like, what, I don't know what time period that would be.
I'm really bad of time periods too, but that's like
I think
next.
That'd be like Persian Empire.
Yes.
And then, yeah, and then you got, I mean, then, like, Abrahamic religions, which, yeah.
Yeah, so I did it in the best order that I could without trying this on. Yeah. Because I wanted to rant about websites, apparently. So
I get it.
We fast forward through it. We know what's going on. They all have the same goal, purpose, all that stuff. One thing that is important between all this text is that angels aren't gods, but they aren't mortals. They are the messengers, and they carry out the actions of the Lord. So they are the in-betweens, and that just needs to be a really important thing because they aren't worshipped as gods. Like,
yeah.
Religious text is like, don't worship angels, you know, because they're just messengers.
Yeah.
Like, if you worship an angel and then, like, you're committing sin and they smite you, like, you can't get mad because it's like, yeah. You're not wrong person, chief, you know?
Yeah.
So now, I love this painting, but this is, like, my favorite time period of art. So it's just beautiful. I have so much artwork like this in my house. If people want to know what my house looks like, it's like this color palette because nice. I adore it. So anyway, the word angel comes from the Greek word, like we discussed earlier, which is angelos, which means messenger. But there's also a collection of different names they go by. Through all the red font websites, there were over 107 different names. For angels, we don't got time, so we're going to popcorn, like, a dozen that seem to be the most common throughout religious texts, fanfic, all that good stuff, okay? Do you want to start or want me to start?
Go ahead.
Spirit?
I have a nice, refreshing Sprite.
Oh. God's messenger?
A celestial being.
A divine messenger.
A heavenly being.
A guardian sprite? No, spirit.
A holy being.
An apparition.
A spiritual being.
A heavenly messenger.
A supernatural being. Did you intend for every other one to be a being?
No. Because
that worked out.
It did. And I think the best part is they just felt like different subscription levels.
It's just
on
the same
Reddit.
Thing. Yeah.
You know? They just had, like, slightly different emojis.
Reddit platinum, Reddit gold, Reddit platinum gold, Reddit silver.
Red gold platinum. You gotta switch it. So now that we know a little bit about the history of angels, because so much time to do all of it, I'm going to hand it over to Ryan to tell you stories about these divine entities.
Do you want to give this little shout out?
Yes.
Okay.
I do. Okay. Huge, huge shout out to Kelsey from the podcast Fairy Tale Fix, who has saved my ass yet again. The panic messages I have sent her about, do you know a story that fits this really weird niche topic? Because I just need one and I can't find one. She introduced me to the website Fairy Tales with a Z that has every story. And I was able to find a non-biblical story about angels. So bless her beautiful soul. We did like an episode swap. They're amazing human beings. So check them out.
True, they're the best.
Anyway, okay. Now you can go. Now's your turn.
So this story is called The Three Brothers by John Serbian. He who asks little shall obtain much. There lived once three brothers whose only property in this bright world consisted of a pear tree, which they watched one after another. Whilst one of them was left watching it, the other two would go about their daily labor. One day, an angel from the heavens was commanded to go and see how the brothers were living, and to provide them with a better means of sustenance if they needed it. As soon as the angels had descended to the earth, he assumed the shape of a beggar, and having come to the brother who was watching the tree, he begged him for a pear. The man plucked one of the pears, which belonged to him, gave it to the angel, and said, "Here, you have one of my own pears. Of those which belong to my brothers, I cannot give you any." The angel thanked him and went away. On the following day, the second brother stopped at home to watch the tree. The angel came also to him and asked for a pear. The second brother likewise plucked one of the pears which belonged to him and gave it to the angel and said, here, you have one of my own pears. Of those which belong to my brothers, I cannot give you any. The angel thanked him and went on his way. When the turn came for the third brother to watch the tree, the angel came to him and asked for a pear. The youngest brother, in like manner, plucked one of those which belonged to him and gave it to the angel and said, you guessed it, here, you have one of my pears, of which the others belong to my brother, I cannot give away.
Okay. Is this tree split into thirds?
I think there's just, like, a number of pears, and, like, okay. Each brother gets, like, an X amount, so they're like, we just want to specify, this is mine.
Okay, because I was like, as a sibling, I have done it, where you separate things with the tapes.
It's possible, yeah.
So I love the idea of there's this tree that has been sectioned off.
Yeah.
With, like, tape or something.
Yeah, I don't really know the, like, anatomy of a pear tree, so...
All I know is that Animal Crossing makes them, like, the three, like, bulbs. So does, like, each one get a bulb?
I think that's what it is. It's exactly what it is. Each pear tree only has three pears at any given time, and Tom Nook gets one of them.
So, along with your soul. So
along with your soul.
As long as we know that's clear right off the bat. Okay.
So on the fourth day, the angel took the form of a monk, and having come early in the morning, he found the brother still at home, to whom he said, come with me, and I'll give you something better to do.
Can you please, I'm sorry, can you please do the one voice for the monk? Because
I don't even remember what I did. It was, like, come with me, and I'll give you something better to do. The brother followed the angel without any hesitation. When they had come to the broad, rapid stream, they all rested there. And the angel said to the lost brother, what would you like to have? And he answered, I should like this water to be turned into wine and belong to me. Amen, brother.
That must be the oldest dude right there. He does that. He's like, I want some wine.
The angel made the sign of the cross with his staff, and lo and behold, instead of water, there flowed wine in the stream. Now, side note, while this may sound like a good thing, somebody lives downstream and relies on this stream, I assume, to water their plants, animals, right, and survive. And then all of a sudden, the whole river is just wine. That's pretty messed up.
The idea that this farmer is cooking dinner down the stream and all of his farm animals are getting plastered.
Yeah.
Is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
He's like, wow, they're really lively today.
Yeah. The cows are mooing out there.
Told you that was a good purchase, Janet.
Yeah, I'm so glad we moved onto this stream with all the water we could ever need. So casks were being made, wine was being poured into them, people were seen working, and a village arose. The angel left the eldest. Yeah, so that means they got drunk, I think. The angel left the eldest. The angel left the eldest brother there and said, "Now you have what you wished for. Oh, now you have what you wished for. Stop and live here." So am I to believe a whole city arose because of a wine? I guess, like, you can make a lot of money off of wine.
Yeah, because it was just the three boys with a tree. That's all they had.
Yeah, now they have a whole stream of wine.
And the wine had beckoned people.
That's how you become a king, everybody.
All around. This is the capitalism we deserve.
Then, right? Then the angel took the two younger brothers and went with them farther on. They soon came to a field in which an enormous number of pigeons were feeding. There the angel asked the second brother, what would you like to have? And he answered, I shall like these pigeons to be changed into sheep and belong to me. That's more sensible. The angel made the sign of the cross with a staff over the field, and in an instant, all the pigeons became sheep. Those poor pigeons. A dairy appeared in which some women were milking the ewes. So they just appeared out of nowhere.
A woman appeared. Some of the pigeons turned into women.
they're still like pecking.
They're all doing that, even as they're like milking, like them and the cows are bobbing their head.
So from there, people started appearing. A city popped up in the spot. Hereupon the angel said to the second brother, "Here you have what you wished for." Then the angel went away with the youngest brother, and whilst walking through a field, he asked him, "And what would you like to have?" So the younger brother answered, "May heaven grant me a truly pious wife. I do not ask for anything else." He said, "I need a lady."
What does pious... Let me look what pious means. Define...
I believe it means, like, obedient. I could be wrong. Devoutly religious. Okay, he wanted himself a devoutly religious wife.
They're freaks in the sheet. I respect that.
You heard it here first, folks. said the angel. "It is very difficult to find a truly pious woman in the world where there are only three such. Two of them are already married, but the third is still a maiden. There are, however, already two suitors for her." Then they started again, and having walked for a long time, they reached a town where a king lived who had a truly pious daughter. Having entered into the... This is the third one. Having entered into the town, they went immediately to the king to ask for his daughter. There they found that the two kings had arrived... Oh, so two other kings had arrived before them. These are the other two suitors.
Yes.
So they had already asked for the princess and had already put their apples on the table, because that's how you swoon a woman, gentlemen. You bring apples.
That's how you swoon a pious woman.
Yeah. With an apple. Hereupon, they also put their apples on the table by the side of the other apples. When the king saw them, he said to those who stood around, "What shall we do? The first two suitors are kings, and these men are mere beggars in comparison with them." The angel said, "I will tell you what to do. Let the princess take three branches of a vine, plant them in a garden, and name each one after her lovers. In the morning of those branch grapes will be found, him she must take for her husband." What a terrible way to pick a husband. Put these three sticks in the ground. Whichever one has grapes in the morning, that's your husband. Congratulations.
That's the one, chief. Well, she's pious, so she... I'm assuming she's going to be like, "Yeah, that sounds great."
Believe it or not, Kimmy, they all agreed to this proposition.
there wasn't one that was like... He, like, looked at the monk and the beggar, like, and then looked at the king like, "You're fucking serious?"
Like a weird idea, yeah.
Like, I've come from hundreds of miles. I lost like six men in the swamp on the way here.
Do you know how hard apples are? They have cyanide in them.
We're an orange community, okay? This is really difficult. I traded a leg for it. Look at this.
So the princess plants three branches of vine in the garden and named each one after a suitor. In the morning, there were grapes on the vine of the poor man, who's our hero. The king, not knowing how to get out of this difficulty, was obliged to give his daughter to the youngest brother for a wife. He took them at once to the church and married them. After the ceremony, so they just met. They never even went out on a little baby date.
No.
She just planted a tree and said, All right. But after
this. Whoever gives me wine will be the one.
Fair enough.
I don't have to drink through it anyway.
She does have a river of wine, like, in the family now. So it could be worse. Oh,
that's fair. Great holiday gifts for the rest of the year.
So the angel took the newly married couple to a forest and let them there. And they lived in that forest for 1 year. When the year was up, the angel was again commanded to go and see how the brothers were living and to assist them if they needed it. Having descended to the earth, the angel again assumed the shape of a beggar, went to the eldest brother where the wine was flowing in the stream, and begged him for a glass of wine. But the man drove him away, saying, "If I were to give you a glass of wine, everybody would want a glass of wine, and there'd be none left for me." See, so we're starting to get to the moral of the story here. So when the angel heard this, he made the sign of the cross with his staff, and water flowed again in the stream. And then he said to the oldest brother, "Riches were not good for you. Go home and attend to your pear tree again."
I love this angel so much. This is a 10 out of 10 angel.
Then the angel went to the second brother, whose sheep covered the field, and begged him for a piece of cheese. He also drove the angel away, saying, If I were to give you a piece of cheese to everybody that asks for it, then there'd be none left for me. When the angel heard this, guess what he did? He made a sign of the cross with his staff, and the sheep changed into pigeons again. So I have a question. There were also people that appeared. What happened to them?
The emotional damage these pigeons are going through.
Pigeon to sheep, some to humans, back to pigeons. Though I would imagine a pigeon is probably better than a sheep.
Can you still milk the pigeon once they've been re-transformed? Is it like a muscle memory thing now? Like they walk weird?
Milk a pigeon.
If anyone has milked a pigeon.
Well, I don't think pigeons make milk.
I don't know. I don't think they do, but
I'll go check Trader Joe's. If anyone's got pigeon milk, it's going to be them. I'll go after the podcast. Okay. I'll report back.
Perfect.
So, riches were not good for you. Go home and attend to your pear tree again, said the angel. At last, the angel went to the youngest brother in order to see how he was getting on, and he found him living with his wife in a poor hut in the forest. The angel asked him for a night's lodging, and they received him with all their heart and begged him to excuse them that they could not entertain him as they wished, for they added, "We are very poor." And the angel answered them, "Never mind, I shall be satisfied with whatever it is." What were they to do? They had no corn to make bread with, but they had used the pound of the bark trees to make bread of it. Such bread the woman prepared also for the visitor and put it under the earthen cover to bake. Whilst the bread was baking, they entertained the visitor with conversation. When some time afterwards they looked up to see whether the bread was baked yet, they found under the cover a fine bread nicely baked. One could not wish for better. And it had even risen up under the cover. When the man and his wife saw it, they lifted up their hands to the heaven and said, "Lord, receive our thanks. Now we can enter our visitor."
Entertain, not enter.
It's a bit of a Freudian slip there.
Please don't enter your visitors.
Well. Do not enter your visitors unless they want you to. And in that case, you know.
Do not sometimes
in this life, Kimmy, you make a really fucking good loaf of bread. And the person visiting says, yeah.
Is this the definition of get that bread, get that head, and
get
leave?
Get that bread, get that head, and leave.
Is this where it comes from?
Yep.
Okay, anyway.
This is actually, who was that? Was that I don't remember who's saying that, but this is actually the story they got it from.
This is what inspired her.
And then the angel said, "Get that bread, get that head, and leave."
I want to put that on a shirt with script font so bad.
So, oh man, this might be the last episode of Alluring. So then they put the bread before the angel and a gourd bottle with water. But as soon as they began to drink out of it, the water had changed into wine. Wow. Hereupon, the angel made the sign of the cross with his staff over the hut, and the place there arose a priceless palace with plenty of all good things in it. The angel blessed the man and his wife and departed from them, and they lived happily until their lives end. That sounds way worse than happily ever after. So, all right, Kimmy. Now,
I have an image of like a loaf of bread with angel wings.
And leave. Peace out.
I'm crying.
So I'm going to ask you what you think the moral of that story was.
No, they had a good life. It ended good.
No, but what do you think the moral of the story was?
Marry a holy woman.
Exactly. No. It was get that bread, get that bread. And leave.
I don't even know what I dropped. Okay, this is the end of the podcast.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode.
Get that bread, get the head, and leave. I'm making that shirt. That's such an easy design, too. With the angel wings and the halo. Oh, my God. Oh, that's hilarious. I can make it look like it has a butt on it, too. Okay. Oh, I'm fine. Right. I just had a minute.
This is a serious episode about angels, and I feel like you're being a little insensitive right
now. The calf look at me is dying, but the look at me is fucking raging. Okay, I'm crying now.
Okay. Thou shalt getteth the bread, getteth the head, and thou shalt proceed to leave. Amen.
That's what's going on this year. Holy shit. Okay. Wow. New merch next week, you guys.
So I got a slightly more modern sighting, actually. Crazy enough.
Yeah.
So this is 1984. Cosmonaut Olega Atkov, Leonard Kazim, and Vladimir Solyova entered day 156 of their 236-day stay aboard the Russian scientific research station Salyut 7. Everything was running smoothly as the crew was hard at work until they noticed an orange glow around the spacecraft. At first, they believed it was a gas leak. But once the whole space station was surrounded in this glowing orange cloud, they knew it had to be something else. So they opened the oven aboard the Salyut 7, and there was a loaf of bread, and a monk came out. No, so anyway, so the three men looked outside of the portholes and saw an orange cloud coalesce into the shape and then bam, blind all three of them with orange light temporarily. The men regained their sight, but when they looked out the porthole again, they didn't see the orange cloud anymore. They saw what appeared to be seven angelic beings traveling alongside their spacecraft.
This is wild. We went from the most. I didn't expect that to get as chaotic as it is. This is really wild. Like this is serious. Like it's hard. Like it's like your mom telling you, like, shut up.
This is serious.
But yeah. Anyway, they saw.
Yeah. So what they saw was a huge winged creature around 80 feet tall. How they measured that in the vacuum of space, I don't know. But it was glowing, and when they couldn't make out the features, they all had a halo. They saw seven angelic beings travel alongside their spacecraft and followed them for about 10 minutes before disappearing. Yes?
Yes. Oh, no, sorry. I'm still trying to gather myself a little bit. So I'm, like, counting my breaths because that's what you do.
Now, I'm going to play a game with you.
Oh, no.
Is this science or the church?
Fuck you. I forgot what I wrote. Ha-ha. I'm going to church because I still have that bread thing in my head.
And you fool. Now, once they were back on Earth, they told everyone what happened, But everyone assumed they were hallucinating due to a result of oxygen deprivation and pressure fluctuations because, you know, they were in space.
Right.
And it wasn't talked about again, and the crew went on with their lives. But later that summer, three more cosmonauts joined the Salyut 7 crew, and like before, all six of the crewmen experienced the same phenomenon. It was way more difficult to dismiss this as just a group of six hallucinations, and as word about this got out, it came to light that many Russian and Soviet cosmonauts experienced the same encounter. Ooh. It is important to know that since the cosmonauts were the face of the Soviet space program, they wanted to be taken seriously, and the fear about talking about these encounters and being decommissioned for, you know, hallucinating was risky, and they didn't want to take those risks, so these weren't discussed until much later.
Yeah, it's crazy how they just didn't talk about because they wanted to be viewed good in the public. They had to keep things secret.
Yeah,
because they weren't making snow angels up in space, folks. No. They were developing weapons. So, like, it's crazy because it wasn't until, like, years later. It's like they were all trauma bonding about it. Like,
but wait, you saw that too?
Yeah, so I don't
know. I think it was a solar flare, personally.
Seven of them?
Seven.
No, of them. No, I'm
Timmy,
sorry.
You're in space. There's solar flares all the time. I don't know. I've never been to space, but.
As someone that has watched a lot of videos about space.
It doesn't happen that often.
It's probably a solar flare.
I was a film major, so.
Stop. I can't tonight. But yeah, I know that was such a jump. I didn't expect that first one to be as.
That first story was an absolute banger, and I loved it. And I hope everyone else did as well.
Now I have an actual folklore story link, so be ready, folks.
Yeah. All right.
Performing a Bloody Mary ritual is surprisingly easy, but designing without any design experience isn't. Well, that's until Canva. Whether you are presenting, downloading, scheduling, sharing via social media, or printing, Canva is here to help your work make an impact in the real world and take your marketing material to the next level. I work as a professional graphic designer and I was honestly blown away by all the tools and resources Canva has. When they say they have a template for everything, they mean it. From party invitations, social media posts, flyers, and office templates, they have it all. With thousands of professional templates, images, and quality content, I've been able to not only get a head start on my projects, but also bring my best work to life easily and quickly. And the best part about Canva is you don't have to be a designer to use it. You can easily edit the templates they have available, or you can hire one of their designers to help you out. And if you already have a designer on your team, you can invite them to work on the project as well. With Canva Pro, your whole team can make real-time changes, provide feedback, and quickly approve projects. Plus, as a designer, you can upload brand assets like fonts, brand colors, and images, so all the design resources are in one place. Plus, our listeners who sign up get a free 30-day free trial of Canva Pro. So what are you waiting for? Upgrade your marketing today by going to partner.canva.com/alluring or go to our website alluring.com/sponsors and click on our Canva banner. Again, that's partner.canva.com/alluring or go to our website alluring.com/sponsors and click on our Canva banner to start designing today.
What an amazing commercial break. Thank you, sponsors, if there are any.
Like the few. We already have a few.
Yeah.
We're doing way better than a lot of podcasts. So
shout out.
That's how I look at it. Now that I have emotionally composed myself, welcome back, everybody. We hope you enjoyed that break. Check out our sponsor link. Support the show. Cool stuff. Cool discounts. We do that for you, baby boo. Now, we're going to talk about the appearance and a little bit about these biblically accurate angels. Now, look at this image. It's beauty. It's grace. Beautiful female goddess, angel, and cute little baby kind of energy. Sorry, I just like stress burped. I still think I'm not over the bread thing.
Get it. I get it.
Which is fair. Anyway, so angels actually have two appearances. One we know, which is this picture, Beauty Grace, Miss United States. And they can appear as either a beautiful human with wings, which we are used to, or an absolute nightmare. So the humanoid type of angel is the most common, and they are known to be very powerful humans with large white wings and a heavenly light glow to them. They wear long white robes, have some long hair, and just come off as beautiful and peaceful. So there are 9 different types of angels. These are most commonly seen. These are most commonly seen in the Dominos, Virtuous, Powers, Principalities, Archangels, and Angels. So
Dominions, not Dominoes. Dominoes is a delicious pizza.
Dominions. That's gonna be a meme. That's great. That's what I get for roasting you about that thing. Spoke too soon. I still had an whole half of an episode. So 5 of the 9 types of angels look very humanoid. They believe this human-like form is just their physical bodies that they enter or they form into to interact with humans, so they're not terrified. Now, here is an image of all 9 of the angels. And you will notice the first 3 look very uncomfortable. Well, they do look like they popped right out of a bizarre horror feature film and an absolute nightmaric cosmic dream come true. So it's important to know there are 3 of these, that they are closer to God than they are to humans. So it's believed that's why they don't take human form, because they just don't deal with us people.
Yeah, they got other things to deal with.
They're like bacon the manager bread to the assistant manager.
Yeah.
Is the best way to think of it. Like they're assistant telling the other to the angels,
regional manager.
Yes, that's the one. Okay. They're like telling the other ones what to do, but they're not the big head honcho. They're just kind of like they another think person they are, on though. The play role.
A little bit.
1000%. So the first one is seraphim. So they have human faces, hands, and feet. So each one has 6 wings. 4 of the wings are used to cover their body. So they don't have a body, but think like they're trying to cover their body. And they do this in the presence of God as a sign of humanity. And the other 2 wings are what they use to fly. In covering themselves, sometimes all you will see is a single eyeball. There are only 4 of these types of angels, and they have 4 faces. So 1 body, 4 faces. When they come to Earth, they'll leave their serpent appearance behind, preferring tall, thin, and clean-cut humanoid bodies. So on the off chance where they do have to come to Earth, like when shit gets real kind of thing, they will transform into the human form of angels. But overall, absolute nightmare. The next one is a cherubim. And now you may think of these as the adorable chubby babies from art history class. But they are actually much, much worse. Ancient art depicts them as sphinx-like winged creatures with human faces. So much like the one from before, they have 4 faces. But 1 face is a human. 1 is an ox, and that is the one on the left side. The right side has a lion face, and the back is an eagle. So it's just like someone got a little bit crazy with the customization monster mode. Yikes. Is kind of what's happening.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah, so not fun. And yeah, the more I think about it, the more it makes sense. Because, like, I'm thinking of, like, old tarot card designs and stuff. I'm like, oh, that's why they always have those symbols.
Yeah.
Anyway, these have four wings, and their legs are straight, and their feet are like those of like a calf. They have two wings used to fly and two wings to cover them up. And the most uncomfortable thing is they move like a flame. So they move back and forth really quickly and fade in and out.
Mm.
So I absolutely hate this.
Yeah. That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, it just makes it like that much worse. Like the weird, jagged, jerky movements. And then the final one. This is the one I based the episode's illustration on, is the Thronies. They look like a pair of interlocking, crystalline, glowing wheels covered in way too many eyes. So due to its size and being able to see in all directions, it will smoothly glide across the sky. Whether an angel has more of an elegant appearance or something more nightmare fuel based, all of them have similar personalities and purposes. So they are all messengers of God. Every religion, that's what they're about. And to carry on these messages, whether good or bad, they need some abilities to do so. So they have a lot of powers. Pretty much think of it like God's like, you can kind of do whatever you need to complete the mission, but you can only use it for the mission kind of thing.
Yeah.
So the first one is they can see way past a mortal's timeline, so they are very patient. And they are very forgiving, which I thought was really interesting because they are messengers and they don't have, they only do the punishment if they have to. So I don't know. That just got me thinking a little bit more than I wanted it to. The next one is, of course, they are immortal. They are telepathic. They are known to be part of dreamwalking or astral projection, so they can enter your dreams to tell you what the hell is going on, or they can take your sleepy body on a ride through the astral plane, and that seems awful to me. And then the last one is they can control the elements like water, fire, earth, and air, and this is all to help them with the message they're trying to send out, which is, I never even thought about that. So I was like, oh, that's super interesting. So with all these abilities,
Avatar, an angel?
Yeah, apparently. That's where it's from. That's where all of it's from.
I mean, a lot of these, kind of. Dreamwalking, immortality. I mean, like, they're not immortal in, like, one body, but the Avatar keeps going down, you know? That's all I'm saying.
I don't know where they got the inspiration, but that may be it, actually. It's checking all the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's crazy. Oh, okay. So with all these abilities, it's important to know that they're always aware of an individual's life goal, and they can only help assist, but they are never allowed to interfere with the free will of a mortal.
Give them a river of wine, but they can't tell them what to do with it.
That's right. That's the thing. They can only do so much. They can silently judge you, but they can't say anything about it.
They can make the bread, but they can't force the head.
Don't ever say that again. Please say that on your next... Actually, please say that on your next date. That's like... and like I'm talking to her in years from now, she's like, yeah, he said this really weird thing on the first day, and I was like,
you made that bread.
And I'll be like, what did he say to you? Enlighten me. Oh, that's fantastic. So now, are these messengers of God good or evil? Well, it depends. Western religion describes them as kind spirits that are guardians to humans. But in a majority of other religions around the world, they aren't good or bad. It just depends the story. They may have evil intention or they may have good intention. It's everywhere. It's been around for so long, there's no like definitive answer. So now we're going to shift over to appearance of these creatures over time. There are so many different weird religious historic events about angels. So I'm just going to talk about what they looked like through history. because I don't have the heart to go through all of it. So,
or the time.
Or the time. I know. We're already an hour in. I'm so sorry, you guys. Oh, jeez. We got down a little bit. So when angels would appear, they'd come to people in the form of a vision. Typically, priests or prophets would experience this, but there were a few people who would meet them. Now, it is very important to know that when angels would come in these visions, they would say something along the lines of, "Do not be afraid." And that's because...
be afraid.
That's what they actually sounded like. And it's because they weren't beautiful symbols. They were these absolute nightmares. And you would be scared if you saw one. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the interesting thing. All angels in these visions looked more like the three scary ones we just talked about. And there was a reason for that. Because the church and Jesus and God and angels may work hard. But folks, the devil works harder. The devil would disguise like himself or demons that would walk upon earth to have more of a beautiful human appearance so they were more approachable. That way people would think they were angels and would listen to them and have a false sense of comfort and like give in to sin easier. And honestly, if a beautiful woman asks you to sin versus some creepy eyes asking you not to sin, it's going to be a little easier.
Yeah.
Like, we're all going to go for a dangerous
we're human
at the end of the day. We're human. Human nature, free
will. So you
got
that loaf of bread. You're like, I'm there.
We need to figure out a way to work that into the title because that's the funniest thing ever. So that's one of the big reasons why angels looked like that. So now, these abstract celestial beings were very, very difficult to wrap one's brain around. Even artists were struggling trying to illustrate what the hell they look like. No written descriptions were too helpful, and it seemed like these godlike servants were anything but holy. So after various attempts, the one that stuck was the image of a young male figure. There are two possible reasons for this. The first is angels were made to resemble the image of Jesus. Self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. The second is that many religions, religious texts, they describe biblical angels as tough warriors, so demon fighters. And it was assumed they have to be men because they are strong, and men are strong.
Men strong. Men
fight. Yeah, men strong.
Men fight.
Ah, is that what men sound like?
Yes. Yes, men.
I am hearing the barbarian in you really speaking out today. So, in reality, religious text describes angels as not being male or female, which I thought was super interesting. So, I do want to point out there's like the angel Michelangelo, and there's like a few others where they say like their gender, but they're just generally not described as a gender. So I'm talking about like all of them, not just like the only three examples we have of them. You know what I mean? They are divine entities and are also known as souls. So they aren't a he or she, they are they. And that is okay. Many religion texts talk about how angels don't have reproductive systems. So there's no need for gender. And just because they are tough warriors and is more quote unquote masculine trait, it doesn't mean that they are men. But drawing such an abstract idea seemed ridiculous. So that's why so many old sculptures and paintings of these divine beings look like men. Which is super interesting too, because they didn't have wings drawn on them or sculpted on them at the time. So they were just like old guy statues that were like...
looks of some dudes.
Yeah, it was like, it's an angel.
Yeah, that guy. Put a little ring on his head. Call it a day.
Yeah, we're like, that's it. They're like, isn't this your grandpa? They're like, we'll say it's a saint. We need another one. So that's how it went. But listen, times be changing. And during the 4th century, the legalization of Christianity and the conversion of the Roman Empire led to the angel's character design getting an upgrade. these celestial beings became more sophisticated, and to show their connection between God and man, two feathery wings were added to them. This showed their ability to fly and carry messages from God to people. The wings also suggested that angels were spiritual beings elevated above humans and associated with the heavens, but no higher than God. In addition to this, we're starting to see a lot more halos. We're getting that long, beautiful hair, white robes, the elegance going on. And it's believed that there's a concept of angels being winged have been around since the start of the 3rd century. But due to the growth of the Christian community, this is when the idea of winged humans really took flight. I hate that you use that sound whenever I do a pun. I forget about it because I don't do them that often. And then when I do, it just hurts my soul.
She put pause for pun in the show notes.
And I looked. And I just waited a second. Then I went to move on.
Here, do it again. Do it again. Read it again.
But due to the growth of the Christian community, this is when the idea of winged humans really took flight.
What a great pun, Kimmy.
Thank you so much. I would prefer a groan of disappointment, because that's the only appropriate response for a pun. But I digress. So now, many people may be like, but Kimmy, the Bible says angels got wings. I'm here to tell you something, folks. She's been through a few revisions. So
one or two.
During the Renaissance, 12, the Bible referred to 13, at 14, least.
Who knows?
And then there's the Library of Alexandria. So
yeah, that whole thing burned down.
I took it back like 8 versions. Yeah. So during the Renaissance, the Bible referred to angels as mystical, genderless beings born out of light. And the light were depicted as the color of the rainbow. Nothing about wings. When the Bible was revisited, a few changes were made to what we know as the modern Bible today. And one of the changes was adding wings on those bad boys and making them have a gender and giving them all these human details. So, which is crazy to me. So we went from, just to clarify what's been happening, we went from a concept we couldn't wrap our brains around to making them men, to making them glowing humans that were mostly female, and now to like kind of everything.
Yeah.
So we just went on the whole spectrum.
Yeah, it all covered.
All covered. We went through it all. And I kind of love this idea of like a genderless holy entity that's a rainbow light. Beautiful. That seems very poetic to me, but I could, you know, I can't even see why they couldn't draw it, because that would be so easy to draw. Just a cute rainbow.
I'm more of a accurate cherub guy myself.
He has pulled a loaf of bread there.
Yeah, and I have a really good idea for the podcast thumbnail, but I'll let you know after.
Okay, I will need help with that one, so I'll ask you. Now, you're going to look at this photo coming up. This is my last point. You're going to be like, Kimberly, what the hell am I looking at? Pay attention to those little just, wispy wisps.
Is that just the sky?
There's a little wispy wisp. Just buckle up. So, people who have witnessed an angel firsthand have all experienced the same phenomenon, and that is a wispy strand of substance falling from the sky known as angel hair. Angel hair, or siliceous cotton, is a sticky, fibrous substance that looks like very fine hair or cobwebs. This substance evaporates within a very short time of appearing, which makes it impossible to study. Sightings of angel hair reported in connection with angels, UFO sightings, or manifestations of the Virgin Mary.
Don't forget also when a plane flies over your house.
Stop.
That's literally what that is.
No. it's not. It's those different.
Are just it's trails. Like... I'm looking at the photo. It's either a scratch on their lens or it's a plain.
It was a video. I took a screenshot of a video. The video moves.
Okay.
That's why it looks like that. There's two of them.
Gotcha.
This is a screenshot of the video. Okay. So one of the theories amongst UFOlogists is that it's created from ionized air leading off an electromagnetic field. Wow. I said
an airplane.
Wrong. Yeah. That surrounded a UFO. I just don't like when you're right and I haven't gotten
it. Anyway.
Others think that they're just web threads of migrating spiders. And to me, I would much rather have it be an alien or an angel.
Absolutely. Because
the idea of a migrating spider is absolutely disgusting.
That's a real thing, you know that, right?
I remember one day I saw the video of it looked like snow
and it was just a bunch of spider eggs flying through the sky.
Yeah. And then I didn't log on to social media for a week after that, because I really just couldn't. Like,
that's enough for me.
I just watched Studio Ghibli and did a lot of yoga because I just couldn't. But anyway, that's all I got for my segment about angels.
Well, now that that's out of the way, let's talk about what they really are. Aliens. This is Modern Takes with Ryan. Still don't have a sound.
Perfect.
All right.
That's
a lot. Aliens. So I messaged Kimmy. I said, Kimmy, how do we do Modern Takes about angels? Isn't that just the Bible? And she said, Ryan, look up Aliens or Angels on the History Channel. So I did. And it was the craziest shit I've ever seen in my entire life. There's people who think that humans are actually from Mars.
Yep.
And aliens came to Earth because Mars was dying and seeded the planet, which I'm like 99% sure is the plot of the movie Prometheus. And that is what the angels that we see in like cave paintings and like ancient texts are, because if you lived on Mars, due to the gravity difference, you would be taller. You'd have a bigger head from the blood going up. You'd have bigger eyes from, again, the blood. You'd be pale because there's less sun. What does that sound like?
An alien.
Well, that sounds like an alien.
And the eyes are bigger too because it's darker. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So you need to let more light in, like a camera.
And you'd be taller, so you know you'd be able to like build pyramids and do all sorts of stuff a normal human couldn't do. So the theory is that angels are actually just aliens.
I'm so glad you watched that, because I was spiraling when
it kind of messed with me.
It just threw me off. And it's like a lot of the people talking about it are religious figures.
Well, here's the crazy thing. This is what really, really got me, right?
Okay.
So let's say, hypothetically, these people are right, right? Okay. Aliens came from Mars, seeded Earth, created humans. What are we trying to do right now? We're trying to go to Mars. And populate the planet. Now, tell me, in a couple thousand, probably million, couple million years, is there going to be a podcast on Mars that is like, yeah, these short, stubby little things from Earth, you know, that dead planet came and actually inhabited Earth? But a lot of people think they're angels, but they're actually just humans.
Man, I hope that's like our great, 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 great grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. It could be. They say history repeats itself, and they're usually talking about modern history, but what if? That's all I'm saying. Welcome. This is no longer Modern Takes. This is Conspiracy Theories with Ryan.
Man, that documentary messed me up.
Yeah.
For a good minute. I really just had to sit back and process everything a little differently.
Yeah. And while we're in Modern Takes, I'd like to discuss something else. This is for any of you piece of shit Tim Allen fans in our YouTube comment section trying to tell me that Tim Allen deserves to have a new The Santa Claus Show. I don't give a shit about Tim Allen. You think this is about Tim Allen, people? No. The Santa Claus is the worst movie ever made in the world, and all you guys in the comment section can calm down, all right? Fuck the Santa Claus. Fuck Tim Allen. Not because he's Tim Allen, but because the Santa Claus. All right.
He's a cute... He makes Santa cute in the movie, but and, that plot is just...
And for the audio listeners who don't know what's going on, we got in a little bit of hot water on YouTube from a TikTok short of me talking about Tim Allen, the Santa Claus, because for some reason people thought I was going after Tim Allen because of his, like, political views. I don't give a shit. You do, you... No, Tim Allen's a piece of shit because he keeps allowing them to make the Santa Claus movies. All right, so get off your high horse and boycott Disney. All right, thank you.
Oh, my God, that's beautiful. I... Said it all, Ryan.
I'm sorry. That had nothing to do with angels. I just needed to get it off my chest while we were in Modern Takes.
It's fine. It is Christmas time.
Damn right it is.
It is the time.
There's so many good movies out there.
There's so many good Christmas movies out there.
Made the Santa Claus.
Have you ever seen a romantic Hallmark movie?
Those all the time. They're great.
Change your life.
Usually someone gets murdered, but then they find love from the murder. Weirdest shit. It's like, my husband died, but then I moved to a new town and I fell in love with Santa Claus.
I see what you did there. No, it's they're so cute. It's always the same pose, same color palette.
Absolutely.
And I know she's going to leave her rich boyfriend for that small hunk hometown guy, and I have to watch it every time. All right, announcements. Cool beans. All right, everybody. Tis the season. The 12 Days of Krampus, a special alluring podcast celebration, is going to be starting the first week of December. Ryan's holding up his presents that I have sent him. So make sure you are following us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Because you'll be able to see Ryan blind react to these 12 different gifts that I have sent him.
I should have, I didn't plan it. I should have opened day one, on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
But I have it here. I'll do it right after.
Yeah, you got to record while you do it. That's the purpose. But yeah, there's...
Well, we are, in fact, recording right now.
We are. That's fair.
But I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
Just cut this whole part out, Chris. Not the whole part, but this part. And the part where I'm Googling Ablina Sabrina porn.
Chris is like, God, take me now. Because
I was looking for, I thought it was Hallmark or porn. It was not. It was Lifetime or porn.
Oh. Yeah, I gotta put that on the private. Let's just get
the announcements over.
Yeah. No. We have two more.
Okay.
We have to get through this, right?
So, Kimmy sent me a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
I didn't know there was some zines in here, but there's a whole bunch of stuff. It's a whole package. There's a little note that said, I'm sending you this package in celebration of our podcast, The 12 Days of Krampus. She included 12 days of Krampus-themed alluring, so it's an advent calendar, and I have to only open one gift a day leading up to our holiday special, which is going to be really hard because I love opening gifts.
We'll see how you feel about these ones.
And we're going to be doing a little giveaway, which Kimmy's going to talk about right now, which will be announced at the end.
Yeah, so make sure you're following us on those channels. I will have one post that says giveaway entry post. You just got to comment on it. You just comment something you like about the holiday season. It will say so. Like it. If you, of course, tag friends, you get more entries, right? And there's going to be 12 chances to win because there are 12 prizes. So you can win multiple prizes. You can enter as many times as you want. I don't care. You do you, boo-boo. And if you go write a 5-star review on iTunes and in one of those platforms or even on Discord, send me a screenshot of your review, that's bonus entries, baby. And you can win the gifts that Ryan picks. And we will announce the winners on our holiday special. So we are... Ryan doesn't know what's coming. I am so excited. It is going to be absolutely beautiful. We'll just cut the next two short because, man, this episode's going long. Patreons, send me your address. I need it if you want a little Hurry Christmas up. Letter from us.
Come on.
Not send us an address. Update your address. Because if I don't have it by the end of the month, I can't mail you a Christmas letter that I have made. That's super cute.
I'm going to read mine super fast.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Oh. Sorry. Keep going.
Jeez, Ryan. He's just throwing it off. Throwing it off. So, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Say what side you're on. Come join. Pick a team. Team Folklore, Team Cryptid, whoever you want to be with.
Team Cryptid?
Team Folklore came in strong last month. They picked both topics. Team Cryptid, where you at? Become a Patreon. Support the show.
Team Cryptid's too topics. Busy out doing cryptid shit.
I don't need to hear it. So...
We got Fine. Time. We don't gotta rush that much. We're only at like an hour 30.
I want to go to bed.
What's that sound? Is it reindeer? Is it Santa? No, it's capitalism. Congratulations, guys. It's almost Christmas. And we know most of you are going to buy stuff from Amazon because I get it. Same day shipping. Like, we can't give you same day shipping. But what we can give you is much better, high quality, American designed merch. Designed American by Kimmy.
Brazilian designed.
Yeah. By Kimmy here. It's going to be cooler than anything you could buy online, well, from Amazon. And it's going to spark a cool conversation. When you're wearing a shirt that says, get that bread, get that head and leave with the Pope bread on it, people are going to have questions. And that's what clothing is for, right? To spark conversation. So anyway, get your orders in early because, again, we're not Jeff Bezos. Our shipping takes a little longer than that. Go to alluring.com/shop. And get your stuff now. Are we going to do a Black Friday deal?
Like, I don't know how
just,
to
like, do. Just make stuff at cost?
They're kind of at cost,
right? Yeah. We'll see what we could do. I'm going to go in and do the maths to see how we could make, like, a penny off of each T-shirt for Black Friday.
There we go.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. I can at least drop the stickers down.
Yeah.
I can at least do that.
We're gonna call it the one penny sale, and it's because things aren't gonna cost a penny, but we're gonna make a penny.
We're gonna make a penny
for one day only.
That's it. That's yeah. The one.
And if we decide not to, Chris, cut this whole part out. All right.
Now leave it in because people can see the potential of
I think it's a good idea. We'll see if we're capable of doing it. This is not a promise.
One item, and it will be get that bread, get that head.
That will earn us one penny. I like that. Let's go with that. Because going through that whole shop, we don't have the manpower for that.
I don't have the heart to do it. All right. Alluring alignment chart.
I swear to God, I moved it. And for some reason, it didn't move. Because I don't think it's saved. But I had mine dead center.
Really?
Because I feel like they're just kind of vibing. Okay. They're just messengers. There's evil ones. There's good ones. There's too many of them to give them a vibe, you okay. know? Like, right. if it was, like, a specific... If we were talking, like, a specific one, I feel like I'd be able to move it more.
Right.
Considering we just went over a broad spectrum of, like, everything, I didn't feel comfortable putting it anywhere.
No, I agree with the neutral. The only reason I have it over towards Lawful Evil is because of the amount of atrocious cult religious websites I had to go through.
Yeah.
And that's... The only reason I put a little bit more to that side. Like, that's it. Like,
fair enough.
It was further over, and then I watched that Aliens Angels documentary, and it dropped it down a little bit. So, but yeah, no, they're just vibing. The vibing angels. Like, oh, that's yeah. really the best way to describe them. what's your takeaway?
Oh shit, I had one and you said it earlier. Oh no, you go first because I had such a good one.
I was gonna say get that bread, get that get thy bread, get thy head and leave it. I can't remember how you said it.
I think that oh shit, what did you say? I even said, well, I have my takeaway. I should have written it down.
You should have written it down. I can't help you. Did you just barely say it?
No, it was very early on. It was during Science in the Church.
You told me you had an idea for merch too, but
oh, that I still got. Okay.
Man. If
you have to tell someone, be not afraid when they see you. You might be a little creepy.
Only creeps say be not afraid.
Be not afraid, yeah.
And never trust a dangerous woman.
Oh, I thought you were going with get that head, get that
bread. Oh, yeah, no, leave. Get that head, get that bread and leave.
Yeah. And we're going to peace out as well.
Peace! Okay, you guys have the most wonderful night. Thanks so much for listening. This has been a Loring.
Have a Loring day. And we'll catch you in the next episode.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that's all for this episode of Alluring. Thank you for taking a seat around the campfire and listening. If you want more Alluring, go check out our website, alluring.com. That's alluring.com. You can also find us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and Discord. If you have any questions, folklore, cryptid sightings, or urban legend you would like us to discuss, email us at alluring@gmail.com. If you like this show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. It's the best way to help support us and spread the word. Special thanks to Lane Hammonds for our music. If you'd like to show your support and have access to bonus content not posted anywhere else, visit our Patreon page today at patreon.com/alluring and help us keep the firewood burning. Bye-bye now.